Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program Nate Brown, who's Senior VP of Final Mile at Werner, and Meg Muir, who is VP of Final Mile Sales at Werner. And today we're going to talk about Final Mile Excellence. What separates the best from the rest? So, as I've written many times on Talking Logistics, Final Mile is not simply the last step in the delivery process. It's also the final moment of truth, right? Where the customer experience is either won or lost for many companies. But delivering on that promise is getting harder. Expectations for speed, visibility, flexibility, and reliability continue to rise while operational complexity keeps growing. So, what separates final mile leaders from the rest? That is the main question that we're going to unpack in today's episode. And I'm excited to welcome Nate and Meg to the program to share their insights and advice on this topic. So, Nate, Meg, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Not great to be here with you, Adrian.
Thank you.
So, as I was reflecting on this topic, when I first started in the industry, which I, every time I think about, every time I do the math, I kind of shiver a little bit. It was 27 years ago. I can safely say that final mile really wasn't like in the spotlight. It wasn't something that people talked much about. Fast forward to today, and probably over the past, certainly in the past decade, but certainly over the past 5 years, it's certainly something that's on the front burner. It's getting a lot more attention, these days. So maybe as a way to start and level set the conversation, maybe Nate, I'll begin with you. Maybe you can share how. From your perspective, how has Final Mile evolved over the past years, and why is it becoming more critical for companies today?
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. I think you alluded to it, in your intro, just about expectation of speed, right? People call it the Amazon effect. I think consumers evolve, right? So I think primarily there is an expectation of speed. It is a very expensive part of the delivery process, right? In the supply chain. So I think speed has changed the most. Now technology is kind of maybe a 1B right there. People want visibility. They want the expectation of when I order something, it's predictable. I know when I'm going to get it. And I get the information in real time so that I understand what's going on with whatever it is that I ordered. And then I think alongside of that, not only has the speed or the dynamic of that changed, but also just the expectation of us and our capabilities, right? It used to be, it was sufficient to deliver a piece of furniture. You had a professional delivery team. They were courteous. They treated the customer well, and they set up a piece of furniture, and they're out of there. Really, our delivery teams or our delivery process is critical to customers getting repeat business today, right? So, I'd say just how thorough things have gotten, right? That going through your delivery checklist, making sure the customer understands what to expect, making sure that they have an opportunity to express concerns or hopefully satisfaction as you go through a delivery. I think it's just been elevated, right, over the past several years. So all challenges that we're certainly up for, but it's definitely different, and that's across the supply chain, not just final mile.
Yeah, I think just to echo a little bit of what you said, I think the expectation for speed has certainly increased. I think we continue to see, I remember, it's certainly in the consumer realm, right? We used to order something and it was, please expect 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. I mean, I show that to my kids sometimes, and when I see old magazines that had that at the back, right? You cut out to put the order, 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. And now that's just, you'll be out of business if that was your, promised lead time. But I think the other aspect of it is, some customers really want that speed. They want that visibility, obviously, but others weigh reliability more. It's like, okay, we may not want it in a day or two. If you tell me it's going to take 5 days, that's fine. But if you tell me it's going to be on, Friday, May 15th, and it's going to be delivered between 12 and 2 p.m. Well, I expect it to be May 15th between 12 and 2 p.m., right? So there's the reliability piece as well. Meg, anything to add based on your role and perspective on kind of how it's changed or evolved over the past few years?
Yeah, I think just to add on would be this migration from most of our portfolio being B2C primarily to now we continue to evolve and see a lot more opportunity in the B2B space as well. So, we're mixing multimodal solutions frequently with middle mile, full truck dedicated solutions with final mile to really drive those efficiencies and speed to the consumer. So, that's really changed, whether it's LTL conversion or speed to market, like we've been talking about. There's a lot of opportunity to drive efficiencies in the process by partnering both dedicated middle mile capability with final mile solutions. And so we see a blend in those solutions with a lot of the customers that are in our pipeline or new customers that we've added to our portfolio over the last 12 to 24 months.
That's a great point because at the end of the day, we all go home and we're all consumers, right? So we're all like we all have those expectations as consumers for like speed, reliability, quality, visibility, etc. So it's only natural that when we go into our work world, right, and we talk about B2B transportation and logistics, that it was only a question of time before we start asking why can't we do that. What's happening in the B2C world? Why can't that be happening in the B2B world as well? So the bar has been raised, in the business realm as well. So that's a great point. So Meg, I'll stick with you. I mean, obviously you probably talk to a lot of shippers, a lot of companies in your role. I mean, what are the most, common misconceptions or mistakes that you see shippers make when it comes to final mile operations?
Yeah, I think often when we start the conversation, it's to find a solution for a near-term or immediate need or pain point that a shipper might have within their network. And that generally results in solutions that might tie to more transactional business, whether it's agent-based transactional opportunity covering a nationwide agent network or commingled opportunity, right? Where you're sharing assets and resources and real estate with other shippers, versus potentially more of a long-term stable solution, which is dedicated capacity or dedicated assets to a single shipper or a single account. So I would just say, if it is a longer-term need and you're solving a bigger problem, it does take more diligence, right, on both ends, the shipper side and the carrier side, to create those types of solutions, where you're diving a lot deeper into cost considerations and operational considerations, but it generally drives performance, right? Whether it's reliability of the drive teams or driving, your on-time performance, your claims performance, and overall customer experience, the dedicated solution really does that. And that's really when we become a true extension of the shipper's brand. And so that's certainly a predominant theme that we hear when we talk to shippers. That's becoming more and more important, making sure that all the things that Nate referenced earlier are kind of top priority and top of mind. But even more in depth than that, which is, share more about your soft skills training. What type of soft skills training are your drivers going through? Because as Nate mentioned, oftentimes we're the last kind of leg to that customer experience, and that's helping our shippers get repeat business. And so it's really important.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, to kind of paraphrase what you said a little bit, and what I heard was that, probably the biggest mistake shippers can make is really taking a very myopic view of their operations, a very short-term view of their operations, that those that are doing it the best are the ones that really come at it, not only to solve, let's say, an immediate problem, immediate opportunity, but are really taking a step back and say, hey, how can we architect, design this whole operation end to end for more of a long term, for more long term success rather than solving some immediate need. Does that sound right to you as well, Nate? Anything you would add to that in terms of mistakes or
Yeah,
misconceptions?
I'd probably double down on what you mentioned prior. We talk about speed and how important it is, and it absolutely is, right? I think the predictability aspect, speed does not always trump predictability, right? And it shouldn't, right? Having predictability for customers Even if I mean, certainly our especially in the retail business, our customers want to reach their consumer next day. But they also want to be extremely predictable. I talk about the cost of the last mile. I mean, it gets more expensive when you don't do it right the first time, right? If the customer's not home or things are rushed or everything's not aligned. And so I think that would be the number one for me would be, speed does not always greater than, predictability. The other thing Meg touched on earlier, and I think it's an opportunity for customers when they look at last mile is there's always a middle mile component to the last mile, right? That's our foundation as a truckload business. That started years ago was that's what we did. And being in the last mile, I think we have a great purview into what middle mile looks like, what excellence looks like there. And so I think oftentimes customers really focus in on last mile. And I think they're really the ones that win and the ones that do it right. They're thinking about it a little bit more globally, like how do I tie my middle mile network into final mile? And can I be more efficient both from cost and obviously service if I do so?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, so much in this industry, whether it's technology or from a business process standpoint, we tend to think in silos, right? And the reality is, as you just talked about, is that, final mile does not exist in isolation, right? There's stuff that happens before it that, ultimately impact, final mile, performance. So just to build on what you just said there, Nate, I'll stick with you. I mean, ultimately, what then does, great, quote unquote, great final mile performance actually look like today? I mean, how should shippers measure it? What are the measures to say, hey, we've got a great final mile operation here?
Yeah, I'm here. Table stakes is on time, right? There's several things I think that are core to what really good looks like. It's on time. It's certainly your customer experience. Not only did you get it there when you said you would get it there, was the feedback from the customer very positive, right? For our customer base. That's going to lead to repeat sales, right? If you have a happy customer in the in-home or white glove experience, they're often going to be a repeat customer, right? So I think that's what great customer experience for us is really something that we repeat with a lot of our customers. We talk about it all the time. It's from a KPI perspective, it's right up at the top. And I think you want customers today want to know that your drive teams have the proper process. I talked about the checklist earlier, right? That we're going through what's important to the customer. We're making sure we get the consumer's feedback the first time when we deliver, because we've all bought things, we've all had deliveries. The first 5 minutes when things are over, you're going to remember everything and you're going to give your feedback. And if you wait the next day, you're probably not taking that survey, right? You're probably going to miss some things. And so making sure we walk them through the steps of service, we walk them through the checklist, and that's the emotions are fresh, the feedback's fresh, and that's where you're going to get the best, I think, opportunity for continuous improvement. And so customers care about that. And the last thing I would say, if you think about training and process, a lot of our customers care about how are your drivers trained, right? What is the process that they go through to make sure that our customers are taken care of the way that we want them taken care of? And so that, for us, it's partnership, right? That's what really good looks like, is when we're collaborating together to work on what their specific delivery experience is going to be like. And I think when we do that, we find we're more successful than not.
I love, the concept of partnership, but the fact that partnership is not just between you and your client, it's also the end customer, the consumer that's receiving that delivery, right? And incorporating their feedback as part of the continuous improvement process. Because In my opening comments, I said, delivery is really the final moment of truth, right? Because, that customer could have done everything right in terms of the sales process, in terms of having the right price, in terms of, acquiring that customer. And all it takes is just one bad delivery experience, right? It got there late, the shipment was damaged, the driver walked in and put mud all over their freshly cleaned rug, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think we've all heard, or may have, God forbid, experienced some of those issues ourselves. So really, incorporating the feedback from that final customer as part of the process, I think, is a critical, component of this. Meg, anything to add to that in terms of, what does great look like?
Yeah, I would say a happy driver equals a happy customer. So we spend a ton of time and effort really wrapping our arms around our drivers to make sure that they are happy. They enjoy coming to work every single day. So we really spend a lot of time celebrating our drivers, and it's just a fun group to be around. So we have Final Mile Fridays every Friday, and we're doing different awards and we're recognizing the best in class of our drive teams, and they're excited to come to work, and that helps with the customer experience component.
I love that. I don't have the data off the top of my head, but we did some research probably a couple of years ago that linked driver satisfaction with customer experience. So, and it definitely showed that link. I mean, it kind of makes sense when you think about it, but we actually did some research that kind of showcased that. So I think that's a great point. So obviously, I think, and Nate, you brought this up earlier, how you train your drivers, maybe incorporating that feedback back to them in terms of what they, what could they improve on and so forth. I would think that that's part of the answer to my next question, which is going to be when shippers are evaluating, final mile partners, I mean, what are the most, critical capabilities or criteria they should be looking for?
Yeah, so we've touched on a few of these things so far, but certainly how your network overlays with the problem that they're trying to solve, right? And I think that goes to collaboration. How do you talk to a customer about your network? How do you understand what they're trying to accomplish? That's certainly important. Technology today, we talk about the real-time aspect of everything we do in the last mile. I think customers want to know how you can fall into their process or their technology, and not have to really make any kind of exception to do business with you. That's important. So being seamless on the tech side. Meg talked about it. Talent, people, right? People, we're people business. And I think the more comfortable a customer is with your culture, your process, how to go you go to market, how you start up, right? How they're going to experience that. I think the more easily they get comfortable doing business with you or growing with you. And to me, that's what good, really good looks like. I mean, we spend a lot of time on driver recognition, like Meg mentioned. It's very, very important to me, talent and process. And we talk about the technology thing, and there's so much technology everywhere you go, and it's so beneficial if used correctly. But we can't, without talent and without the process really beneath that technology, and it has to be just, on point all the time. I mean, I think technology is inefficient. And so that's really important to us, and something that really we hone in on a daily basis, when we're looking at, customer interaction or just how they think about us.
Yeah, and a lot of great points there, right? I mean, obviously technology is a critical, component, of this, particularly from the visibility side, and updated ETAs and mobile devices and all the like. So I mean, I think that's what has enabled, we talked earlier about how the bar has been raised on final mile. Technology has really been one of the key enablers to that. But everything else you talked about, the non-technology components of it, particularly obviously with the drivers and everybody involved in the organization, continue to play a critical role in all of this. I think the other point you talked about partnership earlier. I think whenever I see the best successful relationships are those where companies' culture align, right? Where there's a alignment on what's important in terms of the metrics, in terms of continuous improvement, so on and so forth. Great. So Nate, so let me just go back to you quickly. I mean, any can you share any customer example, in terms of, that showcases how improving final mile operations made a measurable impact on their business, whether from a cost, service, or customer satisfaction standpoint?
I think we have some good examples within our network of companies that understand their consumer really well. I think the ones that win, I think there's a correlation between winning in the last mile and winning as a business. Right. So I go back a few years ago, working with a retail customer of ours, and we mainly were shipping appliance business, right? So we would ship appliances every day, and I think again, this is an example of a customer that listens to their consumer, their business changes. We talk about all the speed and reliability demands in the industry. And so they approached us and they said, "Hey, we've got growing e-commerce demand going through all of our network aware warehouses. Would you be able to support some of the e-commerce demand through the appliance network?" Right. And initially it's okay, so you want to ship a box of nails with a refrigerator, right? How's that gonna work? Right. And so but ultimately, it's an increase in volume. It was a customer that I think did a really good job of listening to the consumer, and then did a little. I talk about middle mile. Meg mentioned it, and we've mentioned it a few times as we've gone along here. Looked at their middle mile network. There's demand for other, products within their network on a next day basis. So if I don't have a full load of appliances, why couldn't I ship 10% of that shipment as e-commerce, and fill out the stops? And it worked, right? And we've seen that demand grow. We've seen that customer grow with us over the last several years. So I think that's a great example of understanding the consumer, working with your supply chain partner, and coming up with a solution that ultimately, for us, it's a win for them. It's a win, win for our business, and its growth ultimately.
That's a great example because, obviously in the retail arena, once e-commerce started picking up, right, that became a main challenge for a lot of retailers, right? This omni, the quote unquote omni-channel problem, right? Because a lot of them had set up e-commerce only operations, and they had set up store only operations, and there were obviously some inefficiencies from, again, taking that siloed, perspective. And I think that going back to what we've already talked about, the importance of partnership, the importance of taking, not just a myopic view of the opportunity or the problem, but taking a more holistic view. I think that case example you talked about really illustrates how, hey, let's look at it a little bit broader, right, than what we're currently doing right now, which is just delivering appliances. Hey, we've got this e-commerce challenge that's growing, but there's inefficiencies if we keep doing it as separate entities. How can we partner together? What innovations or what changes do we need to make, and what can you bring to the table to help us do this more efficiently, and make it, like you said, a win-win-win for everybody, a win for us, a win for you, and a win ultimately for the consumer. So I think that ties together a lot of the key pieces that we've already talked about. So maybe as a way to wrap up, Meg, I'll start with you, and Nate, you can add on if you wish. If you had to give shippers one or two practical actions to improve their final mile operations over the next 6 to 12 months, I mean, what would they be?
Yeah, I would just add probably to what Nate was just referencing. We've been talking a lot about multimodal solutions, but even broader from middle mile to final mile, we have customers coming to us that say, "Hey, we're really trying to condense our carrier base and drive efficiencies internally in our operations." So that might even span further than middle mile and final mile. That might include one-way truckload inbound and intermodal solutions, and a shipper coming to us saying, "Hey, can you handle an entire region for us? Because we're trying to drive down the number of carriers that our teams are managing internally." So I guess first I would say ability to do that, making sure you're partnered with carriers that have comprehensive capability. And kind of at the core of all of that, certainly in light of yesterday's ruling, is making sure that it's also with an established carrier that, is putting safety at a point of all of their driver hiring and onboarding protocols, right? And parameters. So an eye for safety and stringent carrier onboarding and compliance is incredibly important as you think about scalability and multimodal solutions. And then the second, which I would say kind of pairs with that, is just someone that has a strong balance sheet and the ability to scale. So, Nate and I will meet with customers at times that say, "I really like the small regional carrier that I'm working with. They're providing great communication and great service, but at the end of the day, they don't have the capital to go scale with me as we grow into four other markets in the next 2 years." So, just having that balance and making sure that you also have carriers that can deploy capital, whether it's real estate or equipment needs to scale with shippers, is really important in the conversations that we're having.
Good point, Nate. Anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would maybe add on to one of Meg's points and then add an additional. I mean, I can't state enough the importance of customers understanding the security and compliance aspect of what goes into their network, their carrier network, on the final mile side. It's certainly, I don't want to say it doesn't get scrutiny because it does. It's transportation, but it's a non-CDL job, for the most part, in last mile. And so, when you read the headlines, it's often CDL carrier type headlines. And to me, I think it'd be naive to think that that doesn't spread or apply to the last mile business. Now it's a different driving job, right? Our commercial CDL drivers aren't going into customers' homes. There's different expectations there, but we treat our carrier partners, we treat those driving jobs very, very similar from a security and compliance perspective. The other thing I'd round out Meg's points on is just collaboration and strategy. Right, we are most successful with our partners or our customers when there is collaboration at the forefront. Right, we both come to the table. We talk about how we can solve problems and how both organizations can win. And I think the customers that we work with that do that really, really well are the ones that win. And when they win, we obviously do as well. So that'd be the last point I'd add, just relative to the regulatory environment that we're in, how it plays forward. I think, making sure you're strategic with your carriers is more important than ever.
Yeah, just to build on that point about, the regulatory compliance and, safety, reliability, all of that. Again, this ties into, last moment of truth, because at the end of the day, your customer is entrusting their final mile partner with their brand reputation, right? Because at the end of the day, if I'm expecting a final mile delivery and something goes wrong, I'm probably not going to blame you. I'm probably going to blame the retailer or the brand, right? So, when they partner with someone, it's to understand that it's a true partnership, right? That you both mutually understand that that they're entrusting you with their brand reputation because, if God forbid something horrible were to happen, it's their name that will appear in the Wall Street Journal, and less likely yours, or yours will be there too, maybe. But it's their day. At the end of the day, the buck stops with them. So I think that's an important point in terms of really understanding, the responsibility that goes along with these types of relationships as well. Well, Nate, Meg, I mean, I always say the same thing at the end of these episodes. We managed just to scratch the surface. I think we could probably easily talk for another hour around different dimensions. We didn't talk much about technology, obviously, but we talked about a lot about the human side of it, which I think is arguably just as important, and if not more, in many ways. And so I want to thank you both for taking the time to be with me today to share your insights on last mile delivery.
Yeah, appreciate it, Adrian.
Thanks for having us.
Great. I want to thank those of you that joined us. If you're watching this episode on demand, either at the Werner website or on Talking Logistics, and you've got a question or comment for Nate or Meg, feel free to post it there, and I'm sure they'll be more than happy to respond via that medium. Again, thank you for joining us, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.